Blog Talk Radio.
Of Groomer Talk Radio at petgroomer.com. Let's put the timestamp in here. It is Saturday, October 28th of the year 2017. Today we're going to have with us Jeff Andrews from Northern Tales. But before we bring him online, let me bring you up to date with what's going on. We're giving away a lot at Groomer Talk Community for the holiday season, as we normally do. And of course, we're doing it again. What we have going on right now, in fact, just by coming over to the board, posting messages, or you can play some fun Halloween Thanksgiving trivia game what we're doing, you can win 8 bottles, they're gallon bottles, of Groomer's Choice shampoo and conditioners. They've given us a choice to give you a mix and match of Bark to Basics, Coat Handler, or Green Groom. First place gets an entire case. Again, you can mix and match between those three. And the second and third place winners get 2 gallons each. Coming up first week of November, which is just around the corner, about a week from now, even less, we're going to start Santa's Cash. What that is, it's a cash game. You're going to win currency, dollars and cents in his bag. All you're going to do is guess the amount in it. You can come by every day and guess, and whoever comes the closest or bang on gets the entire load of Santa's cash. Also, we will be running in November and December as well the 7th annual Master Blaster High Velocity Dryer Contest. We're not sure yet exactly how we're going to play that game, but it will be centered through the community at Groomer Talk Community. So if you'll check in about the same time we open Santa's Cash, you'll see we're also running that other game. In fact, Groomer's Choice is going to be running up until almost Thanksgiving. So there'll be 3 games, lots of chances to win and share with you guys. So thank you for coming by and playing. So let's get on with Jeff today. If you're a seasoned listener of us, you know Jeff's been on several times, and he regularly publishes articles on everything to do with sharpening and maintenance. He's a plethora of information, always has good advice on things, and we're just going to bring him on here in a minute, and he's going to tell us about new blades, best blades, new Andis blade drive. We're going to talk about rubber coating your clipper bodies, perhaps just a lot of things. We'll see where Jeff always has just a ton to tell us. He does run a sharpening business. He services groomers literally everywhere. You can ship to him and count on fabulous services. We have so many people that swear by him, even in Groomer Talk Community. You'll see a lot. He's number one recommended there. So let me bring Jeff in here. I'll open his line, and Jeff, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Stephen. How are you?
I'm doing real good. I bet you've been as busy as ever, haven't you?
Oh, my God, yeah. This is we're busy. We're a little bit behind. We got hit by 3 hurricanes in 7 weeks. Plus, it's that time of year where everybody wants to get done before the holidays.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'm shorthanded. I have my daughter, she moved to Arkansas and started her own sharpening business there. And my number one girl who's been with me, oh, God, her mom runs a grooming shop, and she started when she was 12. She just went to college in New Orleans. She got out of town. Okay. She got a full ride there at New Orleans, and I told her, take it. She felt bad, but in this day and age, if you can get a full ride going to school, I'd take it. You know,
that is amazing. They paid, that's great.
They paid for everything, her meals, her housing, everything. I said, Mariana, take it. We'll survive.
That's,
don't worry about us. So I can't, I'll come live with you if we can't survive.
Well, we'll keep the blades and all coming to you and the sharpening. No, we'll get keep getting the word out. But that's a wonderful opportunity. It's always nice to hear something great like that. Well, Jeff, why don't we start with Blade Care today. What do you want to tell us about Blade Care?
Well, we got a whole hour of that. You know, that's one of my biggest things. I read Facebook a lot, and I'm on Facebook a lot as well. I try to advise on Facebook a lot too, and there's a lot of folks have a lot of problems, and with new blades, with refurbished blades, with resharpened blades, and a lot of it is what they're doing with it. Cooling is a big thing. You got to oil with blade oil. They put blade oil in every box when you go buy a clipper. They don't put coolant in there. And coolant is nothing but alcohol and propane gas. If you ever read the back of the can, the small print, you would see that there's nothing in that can that you need to be spraying all the time. And there's nothing in alcohol that's going to lube anything unless it's wet. It'll lube while it's wet. So will spit from your mouth. And I've spit on a lot of blades in 37 years to get them to cut because I didn't have any oil right then. But the alcohol coming out of that can is atomized. And I'm a big advocate of this stuff because coolant took two bronchi out of my left lung in 1993. I was a production groomer. And what a production groomer is you don't leave the table. You call for a dog, and they come take the dog you got and bring you another one in the same time, and you never leave the table. And back in those days, there weren't that many grooming shops. And so every shop had 30, 40 dogs a day in it. We had two bathers. We had a receptionist. These are things that everybody dreams they had, especially a receptionist, because you can't get anything done answering the phone all day, and it's just not there. But coolant came out about 1992 or 1993, and everybody said, oh, you got to use this stuff. It's better than oil. And I did. I was shooting two cans of Oster Coolube. I shouldn't say Oster, but it's all the same. And it made two bronchi in my left lung bleed. And so I had to give up the coolant. There's a lot of stuff out there that you shouldn't be spraying on blades. And coolant's one of them. Even your Andes clipper instructions tells you not to use coolant as lube because there's no lube in it. And it also tells you in the danger section under number 7 that you're not supposed to run your clipper around an aerosol. And here you're spraying it right on the ignition source. And this comes from grooming schools. When I went to grooming school, they taught us how to oil a blade. They taught us how to take a blade apart. They taught us how to adjust our blades. They taught us how to adjust our scissors. They taught us how to pull armatures out of our clipper and clean all the hair out of it. They taught us everything about equipment care. And today, I think everybody will agree with me, they don't teach anything like that. They want to get those hours of trying to put lines on dogs and trying to do different breeds and they want to squeeze as many breeds in as they can. And I don't blame them because there's sometimes you can't squeeze all these breeds in, and you gotta wing it when you get to wherever you're going or whatever you start your own shop. But coolants is something that you shouldn't be using because it does nothing. It doesn't disinfect. It doesn't prevent rust. In fact, it increases rust. There's no lube in it, and it's a hazard. It took two bronchi out of my left lung, and if you can taste it when you're shooting it, it's in your bloodstream, and you don't want to be spraying that stuff around when you're pregnant. You don't want that. But it's a safe product if you wear the mask, and that's the problem. Nobody wears the mask. They don't let you wear it in grooming school. Somebody's probably told all these folks that you know, it's a safe product. You don't need to wear that mask. Well, I didn't wear it, and look what happened to me. But y'all do what you want to do. There's some other stuff that you don't want to be spraying. One of them is REM oil. That's not oil. There's no oil in that can. That's a solvent. And it's used to – the main purpose of it is for shotguns and rifles and stuff. I used to take that stuff when I was shooting trap and spray the inside of my shotgun with it in the chamber there after you're shooting trap, and because a lot of carbon buildup in there. And I start moving that that pump back and forth, and the black water would run out of the end. It dissolves carbon. So you and I are made out of carbon. So you don't want to be spraying RAM oil around. There's a lot of sharpeners out there that tell you, oh, RAM oil is the thing to do. But I told a sharpener on the East Coast this past I give a class for sharpeners report a lot. I give speeches to sharpeners that get taught on the salon side, and when they want to move over to the grooming side, they're lost. They have no idea what to do with a 10-inch curved shear on that little flat hone of theirs. So I give talks every year. And then this one old boy was telling all of his customers, oh, you got to get REM oil. And he was selling it. He got it at Walmart, and he was selling it to these groomers. And I said, I want you to do something. I said, just for the hell of it. He had his rig outside because they like bringing their rigs to these seminars. And I said, just take a little bit on your finger and rub it on your arm and just leave it there for a little while. He seen me later on that day, and he said, look at my arm. He had a big old red spot on there where it was eating his skin up. And I said, yeah. I said, you don't want to be telling these groomers to spray something on a blade that they're going to use on a dog that they can't find in it out of a grooming magazine. You can find coolant in a grooming magazine. You can find oil in a grooming magazine. WD-40, that's not in a grooming magazine. RAM oil, that's not in a grooming magazine or a grooming catalog, I should say. So to keep yourself straight, just use what you can buy out of a grooming catalog or a grooming website or something like that. That'll keep you straight because I know a couple people that cost them a lot of money in court for using off-the-wall something, and it either rashed out a dog or did something to a dog, and you don't want to do that. Disinfectants. Here's another story about disinfectants. I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but I've been grooming 37, going on 38 years, and I never disinfected a blade. We were taught in grooming school to clean a blade, and the biggest thing they told us to clean was the blade plaque. That's that stuff that sticks in between the teeth. And we were taught for two reasons to clean that blade plaque off. One, it helps go through the hair. If you've ever had a bunch of blade plaque in between the teeth of your blade and you're going down a dog and you see little specks behind it, the hair is so aggressive, it's cleaning it off for you. But the bad part about that is that blade plaque is organic material, and it's housing all the bacteria and viruses right there. And whatever you're spraying is not going to kill it. Most of this stuff that you can buy across the counter has either got phenophenyl in it or triclosan or something like that. And both these products, these disinfectants, they spray fruit coming in the United States with it to keep them from molding. So the stuff in small amounts, you can eat it. So I don't think it'll kill household bacteria, but it's not going to kill the rough stuff like viruses and things like this, the stuff that you want to keep out of your shop. Best thing to do instead of trying to kill it or prevent it is just to keep it out of your shop. And a lot of this canine influenza, it's getting to be stronger against antibiotics because of vets. Vets are prescribing medicine to these dogs when they, instead of letting that virus take its, you know, lifespan and just go away, they're starting to get it to be immune to different antibiotics and different meds that they're giving them. And so these influenza viruses are getting stronger and stronger and stronger. So me, if I see a dog that's kind of droopy-eyed or he looks like he's tired all the time and mom tells me, well, he's usually peppier than this, you know, but he's just having a bad day, you know, that's a red flag to me. You know, something's wrong with this dog, especially when he's got red eyes and stuff like that, or he's all the time squatting and pooping or something like this, you know. You want to keep that stuff out of your shop. The money ain't worth it, you know, to bring something like that in. You'll be Clorox and cages for a week after that. But disinfectants, I don't think they work that you can buy. Now, there are some disinfectants you can buy that you need a prescription for. The vet can get you. Now, there's some high-potent stuff, but stuff that you can spray across, you might as well not even get those. They're not doing it. But if it makes you feel good, I tell everybody, shoot it. Shoot that stuff. It makes you feel good, makes you feel comfy. Go ahead. You can't hurt anything. There's bacteria all over your shop, and it's going to kill it anyway. But oiling blades, it's best to oil them with blade oil, the stuff you get with your clipper, or you can buy blade oil anywhere. Sally's Beauty Supply has got it. I have an oiling procedure on my website right on the sharpening page. I show you how to do it the way we did it years and years and years ago. I still do it today. And anybody that's ever stopped shooting coolant and really started to oil blades the way they were supposed to, not once a day or once a week, like, I don't know where I've heard that before, probably Facebook, but you need to oil a blade every time you put it on the clipper, because the oil only stays on that blade about four or five passes on the dog, and then it's on the floor, you know, with the hair. So then you start, then the blade starts heating up, just like your car. You take the oil out of your car, it's going to heat up. Same thing with your blade. And switch blades out. You can't use the same blade for the whole dog. People do it that don't want to spend money and get a, you know, number of blades. I think I got 15 7Fs, and I probably got 15 10 blades, maybe 10 or 15 5 blades, and I got them all lined up. And I just switch them out, put them on a piece of tile, put them on something steel, like a top of a toolbox, a piece of glass that sucks, and ceramic tiles or marble countertops. You can go to the places where they sell marble countertops, and they have little 3-inch pieces they just throw away. You can go out by their dumpster and just pick it up and drop it and get you a piece. And that just sucks the heat right out of a blade. I don't know why, but it does. Or you can go to my favorite. Sometimes you got to find a blade that goes through that coat. Either it's a cat or something else. One of my favorites is Chow's. Chow's, you got to find a blade that goes through that coat. And if you go to switching out blades, the next blade you put on there might just jam up. It's just the coat, and it's the tension of the blade. It could be just off just a little tiny bit, and it won't go through that coat. So I get a can of air from Walmart. I shouldn't say this. You didn't hear it from me. But you can turn that can upside down, and it'll shoot ice out. That's carbon dioxide, same stuff that you're breathing out when you breathe in. You breathe out carbon dioxide. And that turns to ice when you turn that can upside down and shoot the back of that blade a half a second. That's all you need. It'll ice that blade. The problem with cooling is it doesn't cool the blade all the way through, like canned air would. And that's why it heats up so fast. You're spraying it every 10 minutes or 15 minutes, and you're breathing that isopropyl alcohol in, which is bad for you. It'll either do what it did to me, just irritated bronchi in my lungs so bad that it bled, or it'll start eating your liver tissue. It says right on the MSDS, it'll start making you tired about 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. It'll give you headaches. It'll make you cough a little bit, but below all of that, it'll start working on your liver, because isopropyl alcohol, which is most of this stuff is made out of, and denatured alcohol, which has diesel fuel or something in it, so you can't drink it, it'll start working on your liver and stuff. And every time that I go to the doctor, I make sure that he does a liver panel on me, because I've had this problem for years, and I don't want my liver enzyme to go up. You don't want to spray it when you're pregnant, because the same blood that's going through you is going through your baby. You don't want that. You don't want any of that stuff in your baby. So, not to terrorize you or anything, but that's the truth. I'm a square shooter. I'm telling you what way it is.
Yeah.
That's about all I got. I can talk about blades. Yeah.
No.
Let me talk about the new. Okay. All right.
No. Go ahead. What do you want to talk about? The new. Which one?
Well, the new blades and the old blades. I just want to talk about the. A lot of people on Facebook are saying that the blades aren't working out there.
Okay. Let's go over
one
that.
Thing. One thing. Yeah. One thing. I bought some blades. I don't know what they were. I don't know where I bought them from. I got a deal on them, and. When I got them, they were dry as a bone, in the rack packs. That's those little plastic packs that they come in. If you don't oil a blade before you use it, it'll jam hair. And once hair gets underneath the cutter, you have to either take the cutter off of it, or you have to slide it out to one side and clean the hair from under the cutter and slide it out the other way. It's like taking your hand and put a bunch of pencils on the table and rolling your hand back and forth on those pencils. That cutter's up above the bottom blade, and it's not going to cut. It's just going to jam the hair. So if you're getting a new blade, or if you're getting a blade back from a sharpener, I have a tip sheet I send back, and the first thing I tell you is lubricate the blade, because a lot of times in transit, the oil don't go. It comes off the blade. I don't know where it goes. It's not in the box. I got a grooming shop in Michigan. They send me their blades, and when they get blades back, they say, "Don't you ever oil these things?" I said, "Yeah, I oil them." And then the last time I oiled them so much, they were swimming in the box, and they still said that the oil wasn't there. So oil blades as soon as you get them, and let them run on the clipper maybe 10, 15 seconds before you jam it in the hair. Also, if you're putting a guard comb on, new blade or freshly sharpened blade, try it on the body someplace first. And I see this on Facebook a lot, where they say, I got this brand new blade, and they show it on the guard comb, and there's a jam between the blade and the comb. There's a lot of problems with guard combs, and especially if they're old and they're not tight on there. If you can move that guard comb on the blade, you're going to have problems. But try that blade on the body first. Try it on, skim something. If it's a long-haired dog and he's got long hair underneath the stomach and there's a skirt on or something, just skim it. All you got to do is make sure that blade's working. Then when you put it on the guard comb and it don't work, you know it's not the blade. It's the guard comb or your clipper. So, and a loose hinge, we'll get to that in a little bit, but a loose hinge, guard combs seem to loosen up hinges. It backs out the screws because of the tension on it and the pull on it. So every week I would try to tighten my hinge screws up a bit, because that'll do it too. It'll jam your hair between the guard comb and the blade every time, because it's got to go someplace. If it don't go in the blade, it's got to go someplace underneath the comb or between the blade and the comb. Okay, we can go on to something else.
Yeah, that's good, because I'm going to make sure we get to cover all this week, this recording. But let's go on to what you want to say about shear care.
Here's another area that not a lot of people got a lot of experience with. They don't have a lot of knowledge about shears. When somebody goes to buy a shear, they go out and they want light and they want pretty. And they don't know what edge is on that shear. Shears have an edge, different edges for different reasons. Back when I went to grooming school, we didn't have a lot of convex shears. They were just being introduced. We didn't have any curved shears. I was doing Bichon heads with straight shears and doing a good job of it, because that's all we had. We didn't have any left-handed shears. If you find a left-handed shear someplace that didn't cost $100, you were doing good. My wife was left-handed, and she used a right-handed shear in her left hand. And so that's a whole different story right there. And you lefties out there that are doing that, you know what I'm talking about. Tension is a big thing, and because they're pushing on them blades. They're not squeezing them at all. Squeeze has nothing to do with it. But there's a whole different bunch of problems there. But convex shears, they came out in the 90s, late 90s, and they are a finishing shear. And when you buy a shear, you need to know what kind of edge is on there. I get shears in all the time. I don't know what the edge is for. I don't know what the edge is. And these are something that every groomer should know everything about their equipment. They should know what kind of shear they got. They know what edges is, and they should know how to take care of it. A convex edge is used for finishing. It's two razors, and it's going back and forth. And the tension is very, very close on that. Use that on the head, the ears, and the body. Anything lower than about the leg, you want to go to a bevel shear, and I'll say why. Dog hair has 30 times the silica your hair does already. But when you get around the legs and the feet and everything else, it's got more silica in it because of protection, especially around the feet. And it's like cutting double the thickness of hair. You don't seem to notice it, but on a convex shear, you got a razor there, and you can actually see it round out after a while. And people ask me, how long should a shear last? And they say, well, I've been grooming all these dogs for 3 weeks, and my shear went dull. Well, what are you doing with it? Well, I'm doing this, I'm doing that with it. I'm a cocker expert, and they're right there tells me that cocker hair is some of the most aggressive stuff that there is. It's the most thickest stuff too. And if you're doing cockers all the time, it's going to round out your shears just a little bit quicker. But around the feet and everything, you've got dirt in there, you've got thicker hair, and I would use a bevel edge shear. A bevel edge is the strongest edge that there is. It's either got anywhere from a 25 to a 40 degree angle on it, and you can cut. It slices the hair. That's the difference in it. It slices hair where the convex shear chops the hair like a guillotine, and it makes that crisp cut. But you get around the feet, you want to slice that hair. Now, I'm the best bather in the world. I thought I could get dogs really clean until I went to grooming school, and because I was working for my wife before that, and they had to send me to grooming school so we can get a business license. But when I went there, Miss Phyllis said, "You think you got that dog clean?" I said, "Yeah." And she took a Stridex pad. I don't know if any of y'all remember those. And she pulled the hair back on that dog's foot and rubbed that Stridex pad in there, and it was black. She says, "You need to wash this dog again." She goes, "You ain't have the dirt out of the." And she's wiping the hair with it and pulling. It's pulling black. She said, "This dog ain't clean." So by knowing that, and you're cutting that hair with these convex shears, you're dulling them out. Anything in the coat's going to mats. Oh my God. That's a oh my God right there. You can't cut mats with a convex shear. You can with a bevel shear because it slices through that stuff. Cleaning is very important with shears. I get shears in all the time with hairspray on them, crap in the pivot, nail polish, and they want them to look new. I mean expensive shears. I don't mean just some $25 shear. I mean some Sensei shears or some real expensive shears, some high-dollar Kenchies. I mean, they come in looking like crap. And it doesn't take long to wipe a shear off. And most shops, they got rubbing alcohol to clean ears out with, or that can of coolant that they're spraying blades with. That's the best shear cleaner that there is. You spray that on there, let it sit like 5 seconds and rub it off. Get that stuff all off of there. But you have to lube shears for a couple of reasons. One, pet dander and stuff gets involved in the pivot. And once that stuff gets in there, it tightens up. And what your first thing you're going to do is loosen the shear. Now, a lot of people know how to loosen the shear, but they don't know how to adjust the shear. When you loosen it, that changes the way it cuts. 10-inch shears could start folding, not going very deep with it. 8-inch shears will start folding. And the people will call up, "My shears are folding all of a sudden." I'll ask them, did you loosen it up? Oh, no. But they did. And lubrication keeps that stuff from getting into pivot, and it will also keep that pivot screw from rusting. You don't want to put blade oil in there because blade oil is too thick. Blade oil will attract all this stuff, the little pieces of hair, the pet dander, it'll stick in there. But they do make specific oil for shears. And one, if you can't find it any place, one reliable source is Walmart. Get the Singer Sewing Machine oil. It's about half the viscosity of blade oil, and you want it to run in there and all those little parts that need to be lubed. The wheels, the neckties, that's the little lock that the wheels are on, and especially the screws that, if you don't have a little wheel on the side, those screws, if you don't oil them and keep the moisture, because this stuff that's congregating around that pivot draws moisture, it rusts that screw. And all of a sudden, it won't stay tight. You'll be scissoring along, and all of a sudden, it gets so loose, you can't do anything with it. Or the opposite, it'll get so tight, you can't do anything with it. That comes from not lubing your shears. And I have an article on my website that shows you daily care of a shear. You should never go home without wiping these shears off. Put a little alcohol on a rag and rub them blades down. Get all the hair that you can out of the pivot that you can see, and put a drop or two of oil, maybe a couple times a day. But don't adjust the shear when it gets too tight. Oil it, try to clean it. That coolant, if you spray it in that pivot and open and close the shears real fast, you'll see this stuff start to work its way out and wipe it off. But you can't go through without cleaning it. Now, another thing I want to cover is the metal on these shears. I went to several seminars, metallurgical seminars, because I wanted to learn about metal. And when you're buying shears, the biggest lie I see out there, and I don't want to down anybody, but when they put on their Japanese steel, that's a lie, because they should say what that steel is. They shouldn't say it's Japanese steel, because Japanese steel has 8 different grades. There's 8 different grades of Japanese steel. Which one is it? They make mufflers out of one. And they make some very high dollar scissors out of the other end. The scissors that we're definitely blessed with are made out of 420 stainless and 440 stainless. The difference is the carbon. 420 stainless has anywhere from 1.05% carbon, and the 440 stainless, they start at a 1.15% carbon in it. The more carbon, the harder it is. Then you get up to V18 and V10. For scissors, and those those V10 scissors, those are the ones that these little salon people are buying for $1,500 or $2,000. And, you know, they never drop them. They never get dirty. They don't work dogs like we do. And I'm dropping shears all the time. I got to use them $50 shears. You know, that's just me. But there's a lot when you buy those shears. You want to get the highest grade that you can, 440 stainless. That's a 63 hardness. 420 stainless, that's a 55 hardness. Big difference in the metal. And how long they hold an edge. Convex edges on a 420, I don't know. I don't know how long they'll last. If you just do the body with it and the head and don't do around the feet or anything, you get a lot of life out of a convex edge on a shear made out of 420 stainless. 440 stainless, you get a little bit more time. But it's all what you do with it, how you take care of it. And I've had scissors come in here rusty. The edges are rusty. And how do they get rusty? Laying around the shop. You know, because your shop at the end of the night, even your blades, I'd put all that stuff away. Or else put them someplace for, not in plastic, but in cardboard. A blade box, put your shears and or your blades in a blade box. Your shop during the day is warm. At night, it cools down, condensates, and it lays on the metal, and it'll lay on your shears, and they'll rust. Even though they're 440 stainless, they'll still rust. Blades, they'll rust too. They'll rust in between the teeth. Your cutters will rust, and once they start pitting, you lose the edge, and you don't want that. And one thing that will help this is the use of an ultrasonic cleaner. We'll get into that a little bit too. But that's about all I got.
Okay. That's
well, adjusting
good.
The attention.
We're going to back up one to the 5-in-1 blade because we get a lot of posts about that. And I know some people feel, well, we know they could last longer, but this is a maintenance issue again, isn't it, with the 5-in-1?
Well, half and half on that. The 5-in-1 blade is not an A5 blade. That the teeth are too short on a 5-in-1 blade. If you look at the teeth on that blade and look at the teeth on your regular clipper blade, your A5 blade, the teeth are a lot longer on your A5 blade, and they're real short on this 5-in-1 blade. And the 5-in-1 blade is not a cordless clipper. It's a trimmer. That's what it is. But people are using it like a cordless clipper, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's some folks out there that can get 2-3 months out of a blade doing that, and there's some that can't get a week out of it. And it all boils down to technique. You can't push through a coat like you can with an A5 clipper. It'll just round out the teeth on that 5-in-1 blade, and that's one of the things that'll stop it from cutting. Another one is dirt. Something people don't talk about. I get boxes of these in where they say they've only lasted a week. What's wrong? And we clean hair off from underneath the cutter, and they cut like a new one. You have to get the hair off from underneath the cutter on these blades. The blade is made out of plastic, and it has two wire springs on it. And those wire springs poke through the cutter, and they're down inside that space between the cutter and the bottom blade. And any hair that travels through there, which on your A5 blades, that's what it's for. It lets hair escape after you cut it. You have to have rail on your A5 blades for that to happen. These, they have those two metal springs poking down through there. It catches the hair. Keeps building up. If you're spraying coolant on it, which is a bad thing because it's got acetone in it, it'll start melting that plastic a little bit. But it turns hair it makes hair hard. So you've got that under there. Every time that blade doesn't cut, you gotta stop what you're doing. Stick something underneath there, a zip tie or something like that, a piece of string, and pull the hair off from underneath there. I have an article on my website that shows you how to do that. That's the biggest problem for about any blade is hair, and what you do with it. You have to oil that blade too. So there's several places to oil it, and then one of the biggest things is you have to put grease in that cutter notch. That's the little thing. It's got a notch on top that when you put it on your brevier or whatever you're putting it on, it fits that little cam drive. And that cam drive doesn't move. It doesn't freewheel like it should. You think it would, but it doesn't. And what it'll do, it'll scrape the whole inside of that cutter notch out, and one day it won't work. It'll just the cutter won't go back and forth. And you look and there's a big old hole there where you've never greased. I have an article on my website that shows you how to grease that blade so it'll be more effective for you. In fact, when I ship them back to folks, I give them a whole tip sheet on how to take care of that blade. I don't like using the 9 setting because the 9 setting is you have to move that cutter all the way back. And if you got it on a comb and you're going through something a little bit thick, you can actually push that cutter back because you only got these two little wire springs holding it. There's no, it isn't like your other blades where you got that big old flat spring holding everything. You can actually push that cutter back enough where it won't cut anymore. It'll be out of the slots of the bottom blade and it won't cut. And you'll think, oh my God, I use the next setting in. I don't think there's really a bunch of a difference between them, between those two settings. A lot of people tell me there is, but there's not. One day I took 10 of those blades and I took a flat piece of hair and I went side by side with that in the 9 setting and it looked like a stairs going up and down. They every one of them blades cut different. So I don't think it makes much difference, 9 or 10. The 40 position, I think that cuts more like a 50. I would use the first notch back because it's a non-adjustable blade, and if you got one end that's just a little bit too close to the end of the teeth, you could, if you're going down through pads, I go down through pads with that. It's nice for that because they don't even know it's in your hand. If you got a skittish dog, and you got his pads trying to cut the hair out in between his pads, they don't even know it's in your hand. Cats same way, doing faces, little clean faces on toys or something like that, they don't even know it's in your hand. It's a great clipper, but I use it on the first notch back. They say it's a 30. I don't know what it is. To me, that blade has only got three settings. It's Roman numeral A, Roman numeral 2, and Roman numeral 3. That's the only settings that's on there. The package said it's got all these settings, but I think they put that on just to satisfy people's curiosity. But it's still a good blade. You got to take care of it. You got to do a little bit more work with it. When that came out in 98 or 97, I forget what it was, we were buying them blades. I think they were $5.95, you get four of them for $20, and you could drop one and they wouldn't break. I've dropped those things to me. All we had was Arco, you know, that battery operated thing. And I mean, I don't know how many times I've dropped, because you drop that Arco, the blade goes one way and the Arco goes the other way, and most of the time the Arco body splits in half, and I had duct tape around. I had four or five of them Arcos and I had duct tape around all of them, but that blade never broke back then. Today you drop it on the table and the tabs break off of it. I don't know what's wrong. You know, I don't know what happened in 25 years, but it ain't right. And so you have to take a little bit more care, and you have to watch a little bit more. But it's a good blade to do a lot of stuff with. Cats, oh yeah, skittish cats. Oh my God, yeah, I do cats. I did my cat with mine last week, and he's a real idiot. And he didn't even know I was doing him. It cuts so clean, and I had that little that shortest guard comb on him because I don't like taking him down to the skin. And it's good for a lot of things, but you got to remember it's not an A5 clipper, and it's not a cordless clipper. There's a difference between refurbishing and sharpening too. I explain all this on my website. Sharpening, what a lot of sharpeners are doing is they're taking that and they're sharpening the bottom blade on their regular A5 plate, and then they're putting a new cutter on it. That works for a couple times, maybe 2-3 times. We refurbish that blade here. We have the same plate, the same machinery as the wall blade has. I'll tell you something technical right now. A regular blade machine, the angle which makes it hollow ground is anywhere from 11 to 13 degree drop per inch, okay, thousandths per inch. The wall plate that we use here is a three degree drop per inch. So the blade's almost flat, and we can do a lot of other stuff like T-liners and anything like that on a plate because it's almost flat. And when you change the angle on there by doing the bottom blade on your regular blade machine, you start taking life away from that blade. You can get 3 or 4 sharpenings, as I call it, on there, and then the 9 position don't work anymore. All it does is jam hair because and then the 10 position will go because you've taken that angle away. The cutter don't really force itself down that far back. The further that cutter is toward the front, the more pressure from them two wire springs is down on it. And when you take a lot of that metal off. You change the angle quite a bit by doing it on that, doing the bottom blade on your regular blade machine. You take that metal off in the back, and your springs aren't pressing down that hard. That's why it jams up. So we refurbish the cutters. We refurbish the bottom blade. If it comes in with a broken tab, we put that part on for free. And if it comes in with a rounded out cutter notch, that's a little thing you put grease in, a little slot, we put a new one of those on too. So we make that, we try to make that blade just as good as almost new. We don't say it's new, but almost new. I think the company does them for $13. We do them for $10. And it's a good deal either way. You can send it right along with your other sharpening, or you can send them to the company to have them done. It makes no difference to us, but if you send them to the company, they're going to do them just like we do. They're going to do on the same angles. They're not going to change angles on you, and it's going to be done right. So we pride ourselves from trying to do things right. We learn from the company. And I hope that's and the tip sheet we have along with that, it's right on my website. You can pick that up. I go through all this with you, you know, the 9 position, the 40 position. First thing I say is it's not a cordless clipper. It's a trimmer. And as long as you know that and you got a good technique. I know several people out there got a great technique, you know, with this blade. And then there's some out there that are just so frustrated they're ready to sell their stuff because they're trying to do what everybody else is doing and they can't do
right.
it for some reason.
Exactly. Well, Jeff, tell us about the new Andis blade drive.
It was something that was it was sprung on us, surprised on us. Here's the much. I was in a conference call with Matt Andis, and he said that the patent for that older blade drive was gone. They couldn't renew it. They had to come up with a different design and repatent it through the current situation there. And instead of that metal bar being in the front, they increased the plastic in the front of that blade drive, the black part, to give it stability, which is okay. You know, that's what I would do. It also helped their production. It making the old blade drive was a 3-step process because you had to make the white part, you had to make the black part that goes into your top of your cutter, and then you had to put the metal bar across the front. That was then. Now they just have to put the white part together, and then they put a bigger black part together. I'm lucky I got a shop to do this stuff in because they were having problems with the new one up there. And when I looked at the blade drive under the microscope, we got a microscope that plugs into our computer. You can see that where the front of the blade drive was, it was all scraped up, and it was scraping against the hinge. And so when you look at the old blade drive inside the clipper and you look at the new one in, the old blade drive had a bunch of room between the blade drive and that hinge, and the new one didn't. You know, maybe it's the thickness of a matchbook cover. And so what I did with my Dremel was I took and I Dremeled that back. You know, for doing nails, my little half-inch Dremel, I did it on both sides, never had a problem after that. We change blade drives every 3 weeks anyway, so I don't know how long it'll last after that, but that was a good fix. I posted that on Facebook, and I also posted it on my website on the sharpening page. It's called Quick Fix for the Andis Blade Drive. Now, they know the problem. Matt was very concerned. There was a I don't know what you call it. I forget what it's called, but it had 8,000 signatures on it, and they got it up there, and he was pretty concerned about it because people wrote notes and said that, you know, if you don't fix this problem, we're going to some other clipper. And Andis has been one of the most popular clippers in the world. If there's a groomer on the South Pole, she probably got an Andis clipper. And that's a lot of business to lose over something like that. And so I myself took the initiative to try to come up with a fix because I know they're going to fix this problem. But anything like this, you just can't fix it overnight. It took them a long time to develop this problem, and it's going to take them a long time to develop it out. And they don't have any more of the old ones. If you can find some of the old ones, they're gold. Not a lot of sharpeners have them anymore either because they let them all go, and when they were gone, the only thing that we got now is the new ones. They don't have any in storage. They didn't keep any behind because they wanted to introduce this new blade drive, and I don't blame them. That's the way business is. And the old ones are gone, the new ones are in. So we have to adapt to it. And this is where I try to hope people want to take an interest and do maintenance on their clipper, because this is going to be part of the maintenance on your clipper. And it takes 15 seconds. And before you put that new blade drive in, you just take your half-inch Dremel that you're doing nails with and just round out the front a little bit. It only has to be not even as thick as a credit card, just so you can see enough plastic coming off the front of it, because that's all it takes. And when this blade drive would get pliable after a couple weeks of using it, it would start to hit that hinge. Then it didn't. And I took that off of there and that little bit of plastic off of it, and it works fantastic. I didn't see any difference in the blades working, because we get rid of them every 3 weeks anyway. So I'm gonna see if they can't run one till it fails, see how long it'll take. But those girls up there, they don't try to keep a blade drive in there but more than about 3 weeks, because they don't want to be in the middle of something and have it go out. They've been there before, you know, and it'll go out in the middle of a dog. Trust me, I've been there myself. And but you are gonna have to learn how to do it. And it don't rely on a sharpener to do it, because most of them don't know yet how to do this. I posted that on a couple sharpening groups on Facebook, and some of the comments I got back was, "Oh, now there's something else we got to do for nothing." And well, they don't look at it like I do, you know. These most of these sharpeners going up and down the street, a lot of them are good, you know, with grooming equipment, but they were all trained on the beauty side. And on the beauty side, they don't teach them a lot of things, you know. That's why I give these seminars every year up there to these sharpening seminars that are held together by Wolf Industries and Sharpeners Report. They asked me to speak because I got the most experience with grooming equipment. And some of these guys, when you tell them something, they act like it's the first time they've heard them, and they've been working with this stuff for quite a while, you know. And they say, "Well, I've been doing it this way." That's wrong. Yeah, well, you can do it that way, but it ain't going to last long, or something like that. You're going to make somebody mad. Or a lot of them don't know what this stuff does afterwards. I do. I've been grooming with this stuff for 37 years, and I can tell when a blade's not going to cut, or if a scissors wore out, or if it's not going to cut thick hair, or I can't go too deep with it, or something like that, you know. And a lot of those guys going up and down the road don't know that. So that's why I try to teach them right. Try to teach them to look out for things. Don't make the points of scissors like hypodermic. I said you can take those tips back, and if the tips don't close, don't grind the handles. Bend the handles. I've seen that a number of times. Great, can't you shears come in here one time? The handles are all ground up on them, so they'd close. And all I had to do, they're scissor benders out there. They didn't know how to. They don't bend beauty salon shears, because they never get ground up like that. So big difference in the way sharpeners are, and I got to love them all, because I know them all. They all know me. They all ask me questions. They call me on the phone and ask me questions. And I got a girl telling me this, and I said,
yeah.
I said, "Has she got a gun?"
Yeah.
You deserve that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, our show, our hour is going to go by so quick. I want you to get in and some talk on the fur zones.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what. I thought we had 2 hours here, but that's all right. I can talk
No,
all
no,
day.
No. We only do 1 hour.
Oh, okay. Fur zone. I'll tell you what. I've been grooming 37 years, 38 this year. And most of my grooming was done in the 90s. I worked the shop in the daytime, and I worked the second shift job. I love second shift jobs because I didn't see any bosses. I was never tired. I'd go home at 11 o'clock, get up at 7, go to the shop. We had some great equipment back then. Blades, whether you oil them or not, they held on edge for 6 months. All you had to do was oil them now and then. The steel was made a lot better. They never rusted. They tarnished. It was unbelievable. Somewhere around the year 2000, all of the big three, and I don't want to mention who they are. You know who they are. They did something to the metal, because they started putting big numbers on the back of these blades. Remember, Oster was engraved on the back, Andis was engraved on the back. Oster had a little tiny number in the corner. That's how you told how it was. I could look at the side of a blade and see, I knew what size it was. But back when they put those big numbers on the back of them blades, the metal changed, I think, because they got softer. I had a bunch of these blades tested today. I had 8 of them tested, and they're all around 54 hardness. The old school blades, which was the old Oster blades and the old Andis blades, they were all around 63 hardness. And then I got a hold of these Furzones. Furzones were 62 hardness. 62 is 440 stainless. And I've been running them in my shop almost 2 years, and I ain't seen a bit of rust yet. So they're acting like the old school blades. And I was giving up. Because my old blades that I've been using for 20 years, they're about shot. There's nothing left to them. I mean, you can only sharpen them so many times. You can only use them so many times. But if you oil a blade, if you take a Furzone and oil that and clean it properly, you'll get 6 months to 9 months on there. If you use coolant on it all the time, you're going to get just about what you get with these softer blades. You're going to get a month, maybe 6 weeks, and it's going to go dull on you. One thing I do want to mention is you don't want to get your stuff sharpened unless you really need sharpened. Just because the guy shows up, don't give him stuff to sharpen. Make sure it's dull, because every time they take metal off that blade, you're shortening the life of it. And these Furzone blades are premium blades. I'm just now starting to get blades in that I sold a year ago. And people are telling me, my God, I never had a blade like this. They have a 22-tooth cutter on them. I want you to go to your shop and look at the cutter on your blades and look and see how many teeth are on there. Count them. There's 18. And years ago, we used to take a 40 blade and put on a plastic guard comb because it cut like glass. I mean, it was just that smooth. But you can't do that today. Everybody's using, metal combs, and it'll just eat that 40 blade up. But the Furzone, and there's one other one, Lobby, they have 22 teeth on the cutter, and it cuts just as smooth as hell. And that's what you want. You don't see those little lines, those little ripples behind it anymore. And they really work well on a guard comb. I myself use a 9 on a guard comb because the space between the teeth is a lot wider. Remember, if it doesn't feed, it's got to go someplace. It's going to go under the comb, or it's going to go between the comb and the blade. So I use a 9 blade. The space between the teeth is a lot wider. So it's so on an 8.5 too. You can use that too. But these Furzones go clear up to an inch. The inch blade weighs a half a pound. It's a lot of metal on there. 440 stainless weighs a lot. And I also want to mention the guard combs. When the metal guard combs first came out at the end of the 90s, they were built like these. And it takes a lot to pull that spring back. These are made, the spring deck is made out of some real heavy metal. The teeth on these combs are really thick. It's a great comb. It's a great comb for $40. You can't beat it. They don't sell them individually, but they probably will later on. But I was astounded when I seen these combs, because I went back to plastic. I said, these other ones are just falling apart all the time, so I'm just going back to plastic. I got lob combs I've been using for 25 years, so I just went back to them. They work for me. But Furzone's making some great products, and they're coming out with a cordless clipper too. I don't know when that'll be. I do talk to the product engineer there. He's the only one who speaks English, and over there in Japan. And he told me that we're making a back. We've just finished the back attachment for the 610. The 610 clipper is not a fast running clipper. Old school people will tell you the old Oster turbos, the single speed turbos, they only went 3,000 strokes a minute. I groomed 15 dogs a day with a clipper that only went 3,000 strokes a minute. Why you need 5,000 strokes, I don't know. The blade don't cut that fast. It can cause problems, because if the cutter's going back and forth so fast, you can't let the pair feed, you're going to have problems. So it has torque. That's something a lot of the clippers today don't have, is torque. The old clippers had torque. No matter what you put on the table, it went through it and didn't stop. And that's what these Furzone clippers reminded me of, the old Oster turbos with 35-watt motor in them, where you could put wheels on it and do your yard. That's how tough they are. But they don't go fast, and I've had a couple return because these things don't go fast enough for me. Well, how fast you want to go, Are you trying to groom dogs in 5 minutes, or are you just trying to get a sleek cut? It just depends. A lot of clippers today don't have torque. So they run them on the second speed, which also makes your heat, you know, increase with your blades. And some of the clippers that don't have torque, you need that extra speed because when you start hitting tough coat with a 2-inch comb, it's going to slow up. These clippers won't slow up. I've tried everything. And for the money, you can't beat it. And they're coming out with a cordless one. I don't know when that will be. They never told me. They just said they're coming out with a cordless one that doesn't need a vac attachment. So that tells me it's going to be something like an IVAC, you know, where the vac attachment's already built into it, which would be good, I think. I got an IVAC, too, with a clear body on it. I got that back in the 90s. And I still use that once in a while. I don't have a vac system, but it's a great running clipper. The FurZone's a great running clipper. You can't beat these FurZone products right now. They won't let you down if you take care of it. And we give you instructions. If we sell you one, we give you instructions how to take care of it. You know, and that's even the clipper. We show you how to change the. And in fact, that lever on the clipper lasts about 6-7 months. There's no blade drive every month. Depending on how much you use, you could get a year out of that lever. It's made out of some kind of plastic that's space age hard or something. It's really good product. I check into them. I've sold probably 10,000 of these blades, and I've had one complaint. That's it. And these are people that swore by the blade that they were using at the current time. They're buying these because they like them. They cut smooth. They're holding an edge. They oil according to my oiling instructions that I give them, and they're doing great. And they're passing the word. So we're passing the word here too.
Great, Jeff. Now, I want to give you a few moments here. We need to make sure that anyone who's listening to this, Jeff will serve 50 states, but you even serve international groomers as well, don't you?
I got 4 continents that mailed to me.
There you go. So by mail, Jeff has instructions at his website. So, Jeff, why don't you give me your contact info? How can they work with you, Jeff?
Okay. You can Google my website. It's all on my website, www.northerntails.com. It's spelled just like that, NORTHTAILS, like a dog's tail. If you Google me, pick the top one. Don't pick nothing underneath there, even though it looks good. Don't pick it, because we had a place that everybody was sending to, and that place burnt down in January 2016. That was on University Boulevard. If you send it there, it'd take about 2 weeks to get back to you. And so if you Google us, pick the top one, and you'll probably be all right. Our website says updated October 1st, 2017. The phone number is 251-232-5353. And we also have a sales website where we're selling the FurZone products, and I have a very select bunch of shears. I sell just a few models of shears that I've used in the shop that I know do a good job. They're not colored. They're all silver, but dogs don't care. And that website there is NT4Sale, NTFORSALE.com. And there's my 95-page book is on there about equipment care. And that is all the articles that I've had published is in that book. And there's 95 of them. And there's some other things in there, too, like MSDSs and things like that that are very important to you. And when I went to that seminar in April and talked to all these sharpeners up there, I took 40 copies of that book with me. I sold all 40 copies, and I had to mail about 18 or 19 out afterwards. They were very interested in that book as something they could rely on if they needed an answer. They went into that book because a lot of them didn't know what things were. And one of the things were ceramic blades. You know, how come that dirt underneath in the divots can make it not cut? They didn't know that. And I went over that with them, you know, about ceramic blades, and they were pushing those things. And I said, no, ceramic blade is not a real good blade. It just keeps heat down, but you hit something in the coat, they're done. But so how does that sound, David or Steve?
Yeah, they're relentless. They end the show right on time. I just want to thank everybody for listening. Again, Northern Tails, T-A-I-L-S as in Steve.com. If you ever forget any of that, remember, Jeff has a link at the homepage of PetGroomer.com. So just look at all the sponsors there. You'll see Jeff is listed there. If you can't remember anything, you need to get a hold of him. You're going to find it there. Jeff will also be having a new article published in our newest issue of PetGroomer.com magazine coming out on Halloween, and it'll be about rubberizing a coating on your clipper bodies, and you might find that very helpful for some of you that have some slipperiness. But Jeff, I've only got 10 seconds. I want to thank you for being with us as always, and we'll be sure to have you back again.
Thank you a lot, Stephen. And thanks a lot for everybody to listen to us today. Y'all have a blessed day.
Thank you very much, Jeff.